Let's go to the Word this morning. Here we go. Brand new series. Now, son, look at me. All right, you right here. You got to set up. Go ahead and set up. Okay? Look at me. You got to stay awake. You know why? You know why, don't you? Because I'll throw something at you. Is that the truth? That's pretty much it. Right? You understand? You got it down pat, right? No doubt about it. All right. If I do this, that means you smack him upside the head. Pretty much. Here we go. All right. That goes for the rest of you. No, I'm just kidding. Here we go. A brand new series. It's called My Christmas Carol. So let's look at it. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to look at Christmas past, Christmas present, Christmas future. Today, My Christmas Past. Back when I was born, that's what the street looked like. Way back when, back in the day. All right, My Christmas Past. You all right this morning? Good, here we go. Let's go with a brand new series. Now, we're going to learn a little English. We're going to learn a little something. All right, the country boy is going to give you some culture this morning for about the first 5 minutes. All right? Here you go. Y'all didn't realize that I was an English major in college, did you? Hated every minute of it. No, I'm kidding. Here we go. A Christmas Carol is a novel written by English author Charles Dickens. It was published December the 17th, 1843. How many have read the book or you perused through the book before? How many have seen some version, even a Disney version or some crazy version of A Christmas Carol? Okay, so a lot of us. Keep looking. While Dickens' humiliating childhood experiences are not directly described in A Christmas Carol, his conflicting feelings for his father as a result of those experiences are principally responsible for the dual personality of the tale's protagonist, Ebenezer Scrooge. How many has ever heard of Ebenezer Scrooge? In 1824, Dickens' father was imprisoned in the Marshalsea Debtors' Prison, and 12-year-old Charles was forced to take lodgings nearby, pawn his collection of books, leave school, and accept 10-hour-a-day employment at Warren's Blacking Warehouse. The boy had a deep sense of class and an intellectual superiority. He was entirely uncomfortable in the presence of factory workers who referred to him as the young gentleman. He then developed, say it with me, nervous fits because of what he was going through. When his father was released at the end of a 3-month stint in prison, young Dickens was forced to continue working at the factory, which only grieved him further. He despaired of ever recovering his former happy life. The devastating impact of the period wounded him psychologically. It colored his work. It haunted his entire life with disturbing memories. About 20 years later, Dickens was keenly touched by the lot of poor children in the middle decades of the 19th century. Inspired by the February 1843 parliamentary report exposing the effects of the Industrial Revolution upon poor children, called the Second Report of the Children's Employment Commission, Dickens planned in May of 1843 to publish an inexpensive political pamphlet that he was going to write. And he tentatively titled it this, An Appeal to the People of England on Behalf of a Poor Man's Child. But he changed his mind, deferring the pamphlet's production until the end of the year of 1843. He wrote Dr. Southwood Smith, one of 84 commissioners responsible for the second report, about his change in plans. You will certainly feel that a sledgehammer has come down with 20 times the force. 20,000 times the force I could have exerted by following out my first idea, the pamphlet would then become what is known as, say it with me, A Christmas Carol. Isn't it funny how things happen? You're going to write him a little old pamphlet. Turned out to be the greatest selling Christmas book of all time. Incredible. Dickens divides the book into five chapters. How many bored to tears so far? I'm trying with my voice to make it interesting. Here we go. Dickens divided the book into five chapters, which he labeled, say it with me, staves, that is, song stanzas, in keeping with the title of the book, Christmas Carol. The tale begins on a Christmas Eve in the early 1840s, exactly 7 years after the death of Ebenezer Scrooge's business partner, say his name, Jacob Marley. Here we go. Scrooge is established within the first stave as a greedy and stingy businessman who has no place in his life for kindness, compassion, charity, or benevolence. After being warned by Marley's ghost to change his ways, lest he undergo the same miserable afterlife as himself, Scrooge is visited by, say it with me, three additional ghosts. The first of the spirits, the ghost of Christmas past, takes Scrooge to the scenes of his boyhood and youth, which stir the old miser's gentle side by reminding him of a time when he was more innocent. The second spirit, the ghost of Christmas present, takes Scrooge to several radically different scenes, a joy-filled market of people buying the makings of Christmas dinner, the family feast of Scrooge's near-impoverished clerk, Bob Cratchit, a miner's cottage, a lighthouse, among other sites, in order to evoke from the miser a sense of responsibility for his fellow man. The third spirit, the ghost of Christmas yet to come, harrows Scrooge with dire visions of the future if he does not learn and act upon what he has witnessed. Scrooge's own neglected and unattended what? Grave is revealed, prompting the miser to change his ways in the hope of changing these shadows of what may be. In the fifth and final stave, or stanza, Scrooge awakens Christmas morning with joy and love in his heart. Then he spends a day with his nephew's family after anonymously sending a what? Prize turkey to the Cratchit home for Christmas dinner. Scrooge has become a different man. Say it with me. Can we wake up and say it one more time? Scrooge has become a different man. One more time. Scrooge has become a different man. He now treats his fellow man with kindness, generosity, and compassion, gaining a reputation as a man who embodies the spirit of Christmas. Now you know. Okay, if you hadn't seen the movie, get it. Got a brand new Disney movie out, I think. Is that right? Yeah, cool. Go check it out. Church is over. No, it's not. Today, my Christmas past. My Christmas past. I'm going to take you back down those streets right there for just a little bit. My Christmas past. I was born on May 24th, 1962, to Pleasant Charles and Annie Locke Clark. Yeah, my dad's first name was Pleasant. He asked his mother, "Why'd you name me Pleasant?" "Well, it was a pleasant day outside." Come on, think about your names, people. People are stuck with them the rest of their life. I'm the youngest of six children. Two older sisters, Janice and Ann. Older brother Ray. Terry, you've met. Kenny, who hadn't seen in Florida in years, who happened to just be in Tampa this past week and gave me a phone call and shot down and spent the day with me. Beautiful. I'm the youngest of six. And I'm the baby by about 7 years. They're all staggered. Pop, 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 pop. And then big gap me. As a boy, I had no awareness of my parents' love for me. I sat in my office this week with a pen in my chair, thinking about my Christmas past. And I just started writing. I had no awareness of my parents' love for me. as a boy, when I think back, I just can't remember being loved. I was ashamed of my parents, of my home, of my clothes, of my poverty. I lied about what my parents did for a living. I lied about where I lived at 109 River Road. And for the most of my life, I thought I lived on Dead End Street because at the beginning of my street it said Dead End. Well, I wasn't very bright. I made excuses for why no one would show up for my school meetings, plays, baseball games, other events. Nobody ever there for me. I'd see the other kids, their mom and dad, they had somebody. And as I think back, I had nobody. I did not know the real meaning of Christmas. Had no idea what the real meaning of Christmas was. I'm sitting in my office trying to get my mind to think, did you know what Christmas meant? I can't remember ever knowing anything about the real meaning of Christmas as a boy. I didn't go to church. I never heard of Christmas Eve services. I can't ever remember, was there any place anywhere that had such a thing? I'm sure they must have. I just never saw it. Was never invited to one. Never noticed. Never could think of it. I do remember going to the Kloppman Cotton Mill, where my daddy worked as a sweeper. He would sweep the floors in the cotton mill. I tell people my daddy was one step above the cotton field. He was a sweeper in a cotton mill. And I remember going as a boy with my daddy, and we'd go into the back of that old mill, and that's the picture of the mill. We'd go in the back, and there's these big roll-up doors back here. And those big old roll-up doors would roll up, and that's where the trucks would come, and that's where the big warehouse was. And we'd walk back, and we'd walk down a long, just warehouse area, and it was dark. And we'd walk, and at the very end, there'd be some small children standing, and there'd be Santa Claus. And I remember getting a small gift and an orange. I can remember that. That's sort of my Christmas past. I can't really remember celebrating Christmas on Christmas Day. I can't remember, this is Christmas Day. Can't remember that at all. Matter of fact, I do remember getting gifts. But what I can remember, I remember one in particular that I fussed and I wanted to get it early. And I got it 2 weeks before Christmas ever came. And by the time Christmas rolled around, I had broke it. And people are out there having their Christmas with their stuff or whatever. Well, mine's done and gone, and it's broke. As a boy, I just can't remember Christmas. My parents divorced when I was 11. I never saw my mom and dad kiss. Never saw them embrace. I saw them fight. That's what I saw. I was the only kid left at home when the divorce happened. I hated the man who my mama started living with and having sex with in my own home. Hated it. I became bitter and more ashamed in my own house. I thought this week, back of my childhood, I had no compassion for anyone. None. I can't remember a good deed I did. I do remember laying in the little ditch in front of my house with a BB gun or a pellet gun and shooting out your windows when you rode down the street. I do remember that. I remember when houses would become vacant in our old shoddy neighborhood, that we would go with our dogs and stuff like that, walking around, would pick up rocks and just psh, bust the windows. Oh, I remember that. But having compassion on anybody, don't remember it. I turn my anger and my nervous frustration or nervous fits into a focus on sports. I love to hit a baseball. Loved it. Every time I stood up at the plate, I thought in my head, it's going out of the park every time. I never thought, well, I'm going to hit it down third, or I'm going to hit it over second base. It's going out of the park. I'm going to knock a snot out of it. And I took my anger somehow as I looked back out on a little round baseball. I never sang. Can't remember as a boy singing or anything like that. I did not know God. I never gave a thought, not one thought. Is there a God? As a kid, the thought never hit my head. And I certainly did not know that God had a son named Jesus. And I did not know He loved me. That is my Christmas past. I had no peace, no peace in my life. I didn't know what peace was. I can't remember. It seems like something was always screwed up when I was a kid. Now I could rewrite it. I can make it all happy. But that is my Christmas past. I had no peace. Now you might say, Pastor, you brought us here. You told us about Charles Dickens. Boy, his life is all screwed up. Told us about yours. Yours all screwed up. That don't sound too good. I had no peace. So I want to talk to you a little bit, just the last few minutes. I'll talk to you about peace. Say peace with me. Peace. Now quit crying, all that mess, and set up. Here we go. Come on. Slap yourself. Here we go. Here we go. The story gets better, people. Yeah. Good. You're killing me, man. Here we go. I had no peace. What is peace? This little thing's about to kill me right here. Here we go. What is peace? Pop it up, Raj. I go to my handy-dandy dictionary, which you know I keep in my right-hand desk drawer. It's a state of tranquility, security, a harmony of personal relationships, untroubled by conflict. That's what peace means. In the Bible, the Hebrew word for peace, say it with me, is what? Shalom. They say it all the time. You see a Jewish person, they say it. Let's say it together. Shalom. I mean, they'll say, you'll see him after dinner. Shalom. See him in the grocery store. Shalom. You know, whatever. You know, doesn't matter. Shalom. Had you enjoy yourself? Shalom. It's always shalom. All right? Number one word, if you ever get on Family Feud, number one Jewish word. Say it with me. Shalom. Got it. Here we go. The word shalom is the word for peace. It's a covenant peace with God. Would you say that with me? A covenant peace with God. And the word, it can mean a lot. It's a big word. That's why they say it a lot. It means a lot of stuff. It means completeness. The word shalom or the word peace means completeness. It means in your world, things are together. Things are together. The pieces are fitting together in your world. It means soundness in your body. That you're healthy. That things are okay in here. It means tranquility in your what? It means your mind is not troubled. That you're at peace in your mind. See, God wants to give us that. He wants to give us this kind of stuff. He wants to shalom you. All right? It means contentment in your spirit. You don't have a broken spirit. You don't have a spirit that's anxious, that's nervous, that's stressed. It is a spirit that is contented. You're at peace. It is harmony in relationship with Him. You understand? That's what shalom means. A big old word, isn't it? I didn't have that. Didn't know what that was. I had no peace in my life. I had none of that. strange and foreign to me. But Jesus Christ, say that with me, came to bring peace in my life. That's why Jesus Christ came. He came to bring a shattered young man in Rockingham, North Carolina, peace. And I didn't know a thing about it. The Bible says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Say it with me. The Prince of Peace. Why did Jesus come? To bring peace into my life. That's why he came. He's the Prince of Peace. He came to bring peace into my life. The Bible says in Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah," hundreds of years before the birth of Christ, this prophet said this, "Though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The Bible said, prophesied of our Savior, that he would be born in Bethlehem. If you read on down to verse 5, it says, "And," say it with me, "this man shall be the peace that I'd been looking for, that I needed in my life." That's who he would be. This is good news, the Bible says. Isaiah 52, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings," that publishes what? Peace, that brings good tidings of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, "Thy God reigns." Mark 16 says, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." What is the gospel? What's that word mean? It means this. Say it with me. Good news. Words of peace. At Fellowship Church, we say we love Jesus and we love people. Those are peaceful words. Amen? That's what we're about. Sending peace. And that message is good news. Jesus Christ came to bring peace into my life. And I didn't know it. Had no clue. Jesus Christ became an offering for my sins to bring me peace. To that hell-raising, rock-throwing, busting-out-window, car-shooting idiot. Me. He became an offering for my sins, which are many. Amen? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our what? Peace was upon him, and with his stripes were what? Healed. He shall see the travail of his soul. He shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. That's why Jesus Christ came, to bring peace into my life. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we're yet sinners, Christ what? Died for us. He came to bring peace into my life. Newsflash. Here we go. Newsflash. Y'all need to get with the program here. If you ain't awake, get it. Here we go. Come on. Jesus Christ came not to bring world peace, but came to bring peace to my world. Say it with me. Jesus Christ came not to bring world peace, but came to bring peace to my world. Who said that? I did. All right? Yeah, those are one of my little quotes that you get every once in a while. Listen to it. That's why it came. That's why you see this mess in your world continuing and continuing and I know Washington's going to fix it, right? That's what's going to happen, right? Say, are you kidding me? The Middle East mess, all this mess. You think, Jesus Christ came to bring world peace. No, he didn't. He came to bring peace to my world. He saw me. He knew me. He loved me. He cared for me. When I didn't feel like anybody else did, he did. He cares. He said in Matthew 10, Jesus speaking, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send" what? Peace on what? I came not to send what? But a what? For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, which that ain't hard. Hang on. I'm sorry. Hang on. Shh. Hush, Gary. And a man's foes shall be they of his own house. He that loves father or mother more than me ain't worthy of me, Jesus said. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross and follows after me is not worthy of me. He that finds his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for me shall find it. So Jesus Christ didn't come to bring world peace. He came to bring peace to who? To my world. He said in John, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe in me, Jesus said. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And then he says this, John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I didn't know it. Jesus Christ came to bring peace into my life. Wow. But I had no peace. We're almost done with the message. But that changed on December the 18th, 1977. That changed on December the 18th, 1977, which is actually next Sunday morning. It's interesting. Dickens wrote his book on December the 17th, 1843. Jesus Christ came into my world and brought me peace on December the 18th, 1977. My Christmas past got a Christmas present. Amen? My Christmas past got a Christmas present. I did not want to go to church. I had never heard of church. But somehow we went. And 3 weeks later, I received Christ as my Savior. For the first time, I heard God loved me. Really, I heard it for the first time where it made sense or where it got into my head somehow, and that God gave His Son for me. And best I knew how, I received Him as my Savior. That's a beautiful thing that God did for me. Jesus Christ did what? He shalomed me. Amen? You said that in Rockingham, they think you just came out of a bar. He shalomed me. What? Anyway, He shalomed me, baby. That's what happened on December the 18th, 1977. Clark got shalomed. I got peace in my life. I didn't know what I got. But now I look back and go, whoo, I got it. Amen? I got it, man. God's been good to me. He brought peace into my life. He brought completeness. Now, what do I mean? Now, listen to me, church. Here I am now, 49 years old. And all hell, I've had one of the hardest years of my life. But I've been able to walk through this year with peace. I don't know if you're saved and going to heaven or not. I know where I'm going. You know what I'm saying? I know what I got. I don't know what you got. It bothers me when I talk to people about their faith and they start talking about their church and their religion. You hear me? You let the mess hit the fan, you go talk and see if that religion stuff will fly for you. It don't go too far. Y'all listening or not? Even though this has been a hard year on me, I have actually been able to see my world, even around me, stay together. You understand? When all hell's breaking loose, I've still been able to what? Keep it together. Well, that ain't me. That's the Prince of Peace in my life. He came to bring peace into my life. And then this word, soundness. of mind, of body, soundness of body. Though this has been a very difficult year on me, I actually am in the best health I've probably ever been in. It's craziness. That's him. That ain't me. I'm just telling you, I'm in great health. I get crazy every once in a while. I was at football practice not long ago. I challenged the coach to race me. And he's like, well, you don't want to do that, coach. Because he thinks he's all that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. And anyway, who won? Okay. I hear you now. So anyway, we did. We did it. He and me raced. He beat me by like that. And plus, he cheated. Now, anyway, if you lose, always say the other person cheated. Amen. But anyway, my point is, one day I'm at a young family fellowship, and this year I've gone nuts, man. I saw a couple of kids one's a track guy, one's like on the football team that, you know, is in great shape, and I challenge him to race. Crazy I am. And I scared both of them. Amen. What am I saying? You can have craziness going in your world, but when you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can still have a sound body. Y'all hearing me or not? Sure you can. He can take care of you. The third thing about peace, tranquility of mind. I have struggled this year with my mind. I tell the prayer partners on Sunday morning, and they usually hear me say it in my prayer, God, please forgive me for my thought life. Because I've struggled in my mind. But I'm going to tell you something. I've been able to keep my job. I've been able to maintain. I've been able to preach on Sunday mornings. I've been able to get up. I've been able to study. I've been able to do for God. I'm going to tell you something. That's because He shalomed me. He came to bring peace in my life. He didn't come to bring world peace. Friend, you're going to have problems in your world, okay? But He came in the midst of your world problems. You can have peace. Y'all listening to the message or not? This is my Christmas present. Contentment. I have been able to see and be happier with little things this year. He has brought incredible friendships into my life. They've already been in my life, but He just enriched those friendships into my life. And I learned to see around me people in my life, and they meant so much more to me. Contentment in my life. Instead of, oh my gosh, I can't make it, I can't do it, my world is over, the sky is falling, I have no hope, I have no future. Bull crap, excuse me. You hear me this morning? All right? Why? Because Jesus Christ came and brought me peace in my life. He's real. You might not think Jesus is real. You know why you don't think He is real? Because you probably don't know Him. Excuse me. He's real in my life. I love Him. That's why we keep doing what we do on Sundays. It's the backbone of everything we do. He is real to me. Amen? Harmony in relationship. When other relationships go south, He never leaves. Isn't that awesome? He's like, I'm right here, baby. Draw close to me and I'll draw close to you. Isn't that beautiful? So Jesus Christ, shalom me, baby. All right? How about you? You've been shalom by Jesus. Do you have the peace in your life that passes understanding, the Bible says? The Bible says He will give him, He'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him, whose heart trusts in Him. You can go through whatever in your life, and when you know Christ as your peace, you can make it through anything. You listening? That's been my hope. That's been my confidence. My Christmas past received the greatest Christmas present on December the 18th, 1977. To me, that's Jesus. Y'all understand what I'm saying today? Have you heard me talking about the Baptist church somewhere? Yes or no? No. You heard me giving man some credit for what happened in my life. No. Jesus gets all the credit, all the glory. I recommend Him to you this year. I recommend Him to you in a different way. I mean, He can take you through hell here. Not just save you from hell out yonder one day in the future. He can take you through hell right here. What a great Savior we have. I'm telling you, you ought to get to know Him. For unto us a child is born. I didn't know that. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. When I was a kid, if you told me, call Jesus Wonderful, I'd say, I ain't calling Him nothing. I don't even know Him. Now for you to tell me, say Jesus is wonderful, that's easy, man. Counselor, are you kidding me? Greatest counselor ever got from His Word, and He's been helping me. He's my counselor. He's my Father. He's the Prince of Peace in my life. Amen? So don't feel sorry about my childhood. I'm glad I had the childhood I had. I'm going to close by saying something. I never know what I'm going to say when I get up on this crazy stage. But I worry about some of you. I worry about some of you. I'm going to tell you straight up. I worry about some of you. You play your little religion game. I'm going to be ugly. I don't want to be too ugly, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Can you give the kind of talk I gave? Can you show me that you were lost? Can you show me that you really needed God? Can you show me that you were a sinner? Can you show me that you just couldn't make it? And that Jesus came into your life and He made a difference? Can you show me that? That's what you need to be able to show, church. You need to be able to show Jesus did something in your life. Y'all listening or not? I don't care. I mean, you don't have to have a bad childhood like I had. But every single person needs to know that it's not about you. It's not about your good works or what you heard when you were a little child in Sunday school. It's about Jesus Christ coming personally into your life and making a change in your life. Boy, I wish you could do that. You need to be able to do that. Y'all listening or not? And if you can't do that, I'm worried about you. You should be able to do that. Y'all hear me? Did I tick you off? Somebody's got to do it. Jesus Christ. Did He save you from anything? Amen? Say. I'll leave with this. Wasn't going to say it. My son came to me when he was about 8. He said, Dad, he had a kids' club meeting where they're doing Bible verses and they give little talks. And they asked him to give his little talk, his little testimony about how he became a Christian. And my little boy came up to me and he said, Daddy, can I give your testimony? Because I don't got one. And I set him down. And I said, Son, you go in there and you look him dead in the eye and you tell all your little friends, Jesus Christ saved me from hell. And he said, I can say that, Dad? Hell yes. You go in there and do it. You understand? Listen, can you say that? And he did. He went in there and told him. Can you say that? Has Jesus Christ saved you from something? Has He saved you from hell? Say. He has me. That's my Christmas past. And thank God I got a Christmas present. Amen. Praise the Lord for His Word this morning. Not me, but His Word. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good Word. Amen. Come on, let's stand on up. I know, crazy message. True story. I read these. I ask you to stay with me if you can, unless you got to go to work. Don't want you to lose your job, but I ask you to hang in here with me while we close. With your heads bowed, please, as we close our service. My brother Kenny came down this past week, and I had these rough notes in my office about my Christmas past. And I read them to him. And at first he questioned a couple of them. And then when I got done, he said, "That was my Christmas past too. I agree with you." Amen? We don't have to make up a story of how happy our life is. The best thing you can ever do is be honest about your lost condition, about the peace, the lack of peace you have in your life, the struggle. Jesus wants to bring peace into your life. So often we've been taught to gloss over it or whatever. You need to know you need Jesus. Amen? You hear me today? Father, I pray you'll bless this word today. You told all of us, and you told me to go into to the world and preach the good news, the gospel of Jesus. And Father, I've tried to do that today. I've tried to tell this crowd how the good news of Jesus, I'd never heard it, changed my life. Oh, thank you for that. And little did I know the struggles over my life I would have, and you would be there. A friend sticking closer than a brother. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing peace to my life. Thank you, now I understand better when you say things like, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Thank you for that. Thank you that you said, "No man can pluck you from my hand." Thank you that when we feel like we're in a free fall, we're really not. Because you've got your mighty hands that's underneath us. And we can't fall too far. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for the peace that passes understanding. Thank you that you are my Prince of Peace.